Well, hi Brent, here we are again having our weekly talk about everything and anything that's going on in real estate. And we have things to talk about is rent values, what not to do in a lease. We have a real deal that seems to be emerging where the government says it's actually worth more than the market says it's worth, you know, and clearly from a buyer's perspective, that's what you want to hear. From an owner's perspective, I guess you don't.
Exactly.
The interesting thing is that for the first time in a long time, we have also have a rent decrease. So we've lots to talk about. So
absolutely. Good to see you, Ozzy.
Good to see you, Brent. I was reading the report that came out from rentals.ca and Urbanation. And so the rents dropped 1.2% compared to October 23. Well, you know, that's really, you know, what's 1.2%, right? But
right.
When you go down into the numbers, you realize that the Vancouver year-over-year drop is 9.1%. Now, that's meaningful.
I mean, that's significant.
That means I go from 2,000 to maybe 1,820. That's a huge drop. And if not, no, Vancouver is Burnaby, so 9.4%, even slightly higher. Toronto is at 8.7%, and then Calgary and Montreal are much more subdued at 4.3%. So, but clearly, why are those rents coming down?
Well, you know, there's a number of reasons, I think. You know, there's a, you know, in BC, for example, as we've talked about in the past, you know, you have, you know, the Airbnbs are now gone. So you've got that product going on to the marketplace, right? You know, so that may have made a significant or at least a dent into it. You know, a lot of people, well, exactly. A number of people put their condos on the market. Some of them found out that, hey, they paid a little bit more money than the market will bear right now, or there's an oversupply of product, as you and I've spoken about in the past. So those products, instead of in those properties, instead of them going for sale and a homeowner buying them, so they're getting off of the Airbnb and they're going into normal rentals. And that's what the government's wanted us to do, wanted the public to do. Give more supply, and there seems to be more supply. A lot of people bought these condos pre-sales thinking that they'd be able to flip them and get out of them, but that market wasn't there.
So now they're renting, and then they're in competition with other properties for rent. Well, certainly that's great news for tenants, because let's face it, the average monthly rent is $2,152 for one bedroom unit.
No? Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a lot for a one bedroom. You know, it's hard for two people that are friends to share that one bedroom space. I mean, that's a lot of money. I know it's a little bit more than the $70 I used to pay for my share when I was renting originally with three, or what did I have, five other roommates, you know? So it's a heck of a lot more money for sure.
Well, there's also the story we keep hearing that a lot of the students, they're bunking, they have a small bed in somebody else's bedroom. Or I do remember, like, when I traveled around the world, and there'd be four of us, we'd have the smallest apartment possible, and two guys were sleeping in the bedroom, the other two were sleeping in the living room, you know, and then at night we were, or in the morning we would hide it all.
Exactly.
And I'm sure in this kind of a world, we also have a lot of people living at home with their parents, right?
Yes. Well, you know, and, you know, like, some of the buyers that have been trying to buy, they've been in a situation where they're hoping to buy, the interest rates are still falling, so they're waiting for the rates to fall. The prices have been falling, so they're waiting for the prices to fall. Instead of committing to a one-year lease, you know, or getting stuck into a double move, why not just wait and stay at their parents' house or sit on their friend's, you know, stay in their bedroom or whatever the case is, and then wait until you're ready. So now there's not as many of those people looking at renting as well.
Well, so overall, it's sort of an interesting market that when you consider. I mean, the real estate magazine said that in Ontario now have a surge of canceled listings. So I thought at first, why on earth would the owners cancel? Well, they can't sell, but maybe that's not the reason. Maybe the reason is they all think it's going to be a better market in the spring.
Right.
To get a better price. So the owners saying, and right now there's so much oversupply, particularly in condominiums, and particularly in Ontario and Toronto, then it will take the property off the market.
Well, and there's a couple of reasons. You know, as we get closer to Christmas time, less people are putting their houses on the market. Although I've always said, if you want to sell your home closer to Christmas is a good time, because, you know, historically we have less product in that November to late November to mid-January until people start putting their houses back on the market in February. So, you know, you have less product, you've got, and people that are out there buying, you know, it's the closest time where the buyers and the sellers, the new sellers are touching. I always show people that on a graph. Look at, you can almost, if it was Braille, you know, you could tell with your eyes closed what, where the market is, where Christmas is, because the product drops off drastically and the listings drop off drastically and the buyers are still there. The serious buyers are still shopping, Ozzy.
Well, the thing is, we used to, as a branch manager, we had, you know, a chart and a graph as to what you would advise the owners to do. Number one, when you do list your property, is the agent going to be home over Christmas, right?
Right.
Because the salesman quite often, well, it's just not busy anyways, what the heck, I'm going to take a holiday, and he takes off. And number two, you must realize that any buyer you meet, particularly between the holidays, he is or she is or they are real buyers. They're not looking. Right. They got to, and so you just actually, you marry them. You go with them. You tell them every, so you haven't found anything. You tell them on the way home, you might drive by a sign and with another agent's name on it. And you might be tempted to call him because you don't want to bother me. Remember, you're not going to bother me. Call me because I'm on your side. I'll write your offer. So you stick with them.
Exactly.
And whether you own it, well, you know, make your house look good. I can never understand why people want to sell their house in December and not have up a Christmas tree or a nice wreath on the door or maybe a little cinnamon stick boiling on the water just as the buyer comes walking through. I mean, they're looking for a home, right? So make it as homey looking as you can. I agree with you. In fact, as agents, when we could demonstrate that those agents that were working over the holidays and actually worked to their owners, I mean, you tell the owners which day don't you want to be disturbed. There'll be no showing Christmas Day and no showing New Year's Day, those kind of things. But other than that, there's nothing wrong with trying to sell over the holidays.
Well, you're absolutely right. I'm from Winnipeg originally, and I used to joke about it. When you sell a house under snow, you know, the backyard and the front lawn looks really good. And with all the lights and Christmassy, and we're out here with the Christmas lights on and the Christmas tree, and it's joyous and it smells good. And, you know, things look good. So Christmas time is really a good time to sell during, again, with less product. The other thing is that, you know, I remember when a realtor, a customer asked me to, you know, they were talking about they needed to sell their house. And I said, oh, well, today's really a good time. It was near Christmas. And she said, oh, my realtor told me it's not a very good time. I said, oh, where did they go on holidays? and she said, no, they didn't. And I says, oh, you might want to check. And sure enough, that realtor had gone to Hawaii for a couple of weeks. So instead of, and he could have just told her that, obviously, you know, but the truth is that, you know, had he done that anyway, so she wound up listening with me and she's been my customer for 20 years. But it was interesting because the timing of Christmas and lack of product is a good time. People are coming out here and looking at properties and they're serious, like you said.
Well, there might be fewer of them, right? So that's why you latch onto them. But those that are out there, they're not just sort of tasting the water.
Well, exactly.
We're talking about tenants in general, and let's take a look at it from the landlord side. I think you have some views on
what
kind of a lease should you get into with your tenants?
Well, and that's a good question. So, you know, I know, and property managers may not like this, and the common thing is that people say, well, I want a long-term tenant, right? You know, and I've always said, well, it's just like a long-term mortgage. A lot of people want five-year mortgages. If you had gone variable for the last 20 years until recently, you had done well. And there was no penalties on your mortgage. If you got out of your mortgage because maybe the real estate market peaked 2 years ago, you wouldn't have had a penalty because the rates were going down, but it was a variable rate mortgage and you decided to sell. Like when you told everybody, hey, it's time to get out of the market, we're at the peak. And you nailed it when you said that. But if I was getting hit with a $10,000 penalty, I might have just been discouraged about doing it. So I might have waited and then I lost a couple hundred grand because the market dropped so drastically, right? And having an obligation to a tenant, you know, tenants are coming in. You know, I always say this, you know, if you sign a one-year lease with a tenant, you're responsible for a one-year lease. So, you know, if you want to be flexible, you want to sell your property, well, it's very difficult. In a great market like 2 years ago, you could have sold a tenant a house with a tenant in it or a condo with a tenant in it easily because people would take it over. There wasn't a lot of product. Today, in today's market, you mentioned it last week, a tenanted property, first of all, is hard to sell. You know, you've got to have 3 months at least. And if you sold it today, you know, in the middle of November, you can't give notice until December 1st or November 30th, I should say. So you got December, January, February. You can't move out until March 1st is when you get it. Now, if I've got a tenant in a place and the obligation is till August because I sold it, or I've got a new tenant in there as of August, I cannot sell that without either paying them cash for keys to get them out of there, or I've got to be in a situation where I've got to sell that property with the tenant. Now, you and I both know investors like to get a better deal than a homeowner. Homeowners get excited. They're excited about moving in. They fall in love with the place. An investor falls in love with the numbers. If they want a good place, don't get me wrong, but the numbers have to look good. And if you're stuck with a tenant, you know, you're the only person that's going to look at that property now is a tenant, an investor. And if the investors aren't plentiful, as times they aren't, you're stuck with looking for the one tenant or the one property or the landlord, the owner, the investor that will buy the property and keep that tenant. So you've eliminated a lot of buyers. And anytime you eliminate buyers from your possibility of selling, it really discourages, top dollar.
Value by UBC is that you have to expose the property to the largest amount of buyers possible. And that's why they always recommend multiple listing service. And again, get as many people exposed, that will crystallize maybe the best buyer. Now, the exactly. other thing is, too, if you had that lease till August and you did find a buyer that will want to move in, but he'll wait a month or so, well, and he thinks he can wait till August, well, he has to give 4 months' notice. Because in British Columbia, if you want to take possession of your own property, you have to give 4 months' notice, not three, four. And there's a 21-day of dispute. Anyways, there's a lot of things to consider, but the reason... You said you shouldn't give a fixed rate lease in any case. You just don't like, month to month you do?
Absolutely. Like I tell people, you know, if I'm newer in the business, you know, and I'm going to hold on to the property for 20 years, I say, look at it. You know, I don't kick out tenants. If you're a good tenant and you're paying your rent and we can always get along and you're taking care of the property, we'll keep you. However, you know, I need the flexibility. If I don't have the flexibility, again, like 2 years ago when I could have sold the property for the most money possible, or right now when I need to get sold because I've got some other obligation to something, you know, I'm going to be getting a discount on my price, on my offer. I can't get full market value because I'm having to sell under duress a little bit because I don't have that ability. Not a lot of people are looking for a property, you know, with tenants right now, for example. You know, there's lots of them. There's lots of choices. And if I'm getting a tenant that's not paying fair market rent, you know, and I'm stuck with that, I'd rather have an empty place because, you know, if they're still with the older rents, even though rents have come down a little bit lately.
But you know, you have to give notice. You have to have a reason to give notice. It's you're either moving yourself, and if you do, you better understand that they need 4 months notice and that you then personally have to stay there for 12 months. You know, after, so I mean, the rules and regulations are such that investors are out of, or to a large extent, the investors that we're dealing with in one of the real estate companies that I'm a partner in, the agents don't want to show them, and the owners, the buyers, the investors that were very interested in them, they're very leery, right? They're saying, well, I'm going to inherit this number of problems. And we're not talking about the tenant from hell now, right? I mean, there's always the tenant from hell has been in the marketplace for 50 years. There's always somebody who knows all the angles and takes advantage of you. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the government creating rules that are hard to stick to. If you want to buy or you want to sell, and they're on the side of the tenant saying, well, the poor tenant, yes, never gets enough notice, and they're worried about tenant evictions, you know, that landlords, just to get a better rent, they want to throw somebody out. But most landlords quite happy to collect the rent the way it is, the deal they made to get the government increase every year and make sure as a landlord that you do. I never increase the rent, ever.
Exactly.
I was busy at now, you know, if
well,
you
it's
had over 5 years, you would have had your 15% rent increase.
And raising it 2% or 3% seems like a waste of time a lot of times. So you're right. I give my customers my, you know, okay, come on, you guys, you got to do that. But do I do it? Very rarely, you know. And then I just try to negotiate what's fair later on. But, but you know, the other thing is that an investor is going to look at that and say, hey, I'm taking on your tenant. I'm taking on a long term. They might be happy, but I want the best price out there. I sold a property in New Westminster a few months back. You know, we asked the tenant, hey, if we find somebody that'll move in, they didn't have a lease. Would you be able to move out? And they said, sure, we can move out early. And I said, well, it would be fair, a couple of months rent. And they said, they came back with $12,000, you know, and considering rent was $2,000, they wanted a 6 month. And you hear these stories in Ontario, they're not even moving out. They're just asking for up to $100,000 and just playing silly bugger. But the truth is a good tenant is great. You want a good tenant. You want to treat them well. You want to, you know, these are your business partners effectively because you've got a good place. You want them taking care of it, but you don't have to give them a 1 year lease because again, the landlords or the property management companies love it. Because they don't want to have to renew again, you know, find somebody else 3 months later. But if you have a bad tenant anyways, or if there's an extraordinary circumstance and they get transferred or something like that, I've never gone out and sued a tenant because they had to, you know, if they're communicating with me properly and say, Brent, I've got to move on because I'm getting married or I'm getting divorced or I'm getting transferred. You know, we try to work out something and usually you don't lose money. The market's still strong enough that if you're asking a fair market rent, you're going to have a tenant anyways. So I think it's fair and a lot better for you as an owner to have flexibility. Flexibility is so important. Again, you know, if you had locked in a variable rate mortgage in the last couple of years, you would have been a genius. So it's all about timing and what works for you. But me, I've never signed a lease in 25 years.
I also find it still a little confusing. A lot of people saying, okay, I have a 1 year lease and on January 1st, does it mean they automatically have to move out? Or do I still have to give them the 4 months notice or the 3 months notice?
Well, yeah, unless you've got a term mortgage, but I've never really done those either, you know, where it says, well, you've got a 6 month lease or a 1 year lease and you're supposed to be effectively out at the end of the year. It just rolls over to a month to month anyways.
That's right.
So, you know, and nobody really updates that month to month. So why start with they never update and sign a 1 year lease afterwards. So why did you to begin with? You know, you think you're sticking it to them or obligating them. Hey, you know, if they want to move out, they're going to move out.
Well, the thing is, as we always say, you know, we are not in here to give advice, right? We share stories, we share the marketplace, but when rules change the way they have changed in British Columbia in 1 year's time, whether it's Bill 44 or Bill 46 or Bill 14, they all have. It's funny, I interviewed recently one of the most well-known architects in Vancouver, and he felt that to put every single lot in British Columbia, every single lot in all of British Columbia, in changing the zoning to where you can have a fourplex, even a sixplex, he called it nuts. You know, you could have made said, or all the say all of the properties around the park or on around a lake or all there could have been some, but every single lot, he said, it just doesn't make sense. So when you look at that, and then we have, I guess we have Bill 14, where this municipality can say, well, right up to the date that we give you the building permit, we won't tell you what the offsite costs are, but we'll tell you the day before. Well, how good is that for me as a developer? You know, what are the costs going to be? Do I have to have still some meetings with Hydro? And anyways,
you're absolutely right there.
The other thing, though, is that, you know, the market is still, you know, we hear some stories up and down, but overall, there's more product out there than we've had. By the way, I just did an interview with Maui, and they have 10 months worth of supply in condos, and that never happens in Maui, right? But no, mind you, they had the fire last year, but used to be, say, 3 months maximum. That was a, you know, that was a big market. Now there's 10 months worth of supply. So it seems to be right through, even outside of Canada, there's more product.
Well, you're right. Also, I mean,
there come some price reductions, and you had a great example of that where, you know, the government says it's worth one thing, but you could never get that price in the marketplace.
Well, you know, for example, we're just assessed at about $1,550,000 on this property. It's a beautiful house, double car garage, executive looking house with a suite in the basement. You know, it's a rancher with a basement, so it's well sought after for people that don't want stairs, but still has the cash flow from the basement. The yard's gorgeous. It's in a nice neighborhood in Cloverdale. You know, we're asking $1,388,000 basically. You know, the government assessment's $1,538,000, so it's about $140,000 under, and that's the asking price currently right now. You know, so there's an opportunity to pick up this property. You know, depends if you want to keep the tenant or not. There is only a month to month, so I mean, there's that situation. Depends if you've got family or you're going to move in yourself.
Oh, but that would be the case. Either the owner has to give the 3 months, right? Or you sell it and then you have to give 4 months to move in. But one of the things that's interesting that people don't realize is the government assessment authority sets the value of your property on July the 2nd.
That's right.
So right now, whatever the value was in July, not now, whatever the value was then, that's what they say, that's what they base the taxes on. The interesting thing comes when it's, say, May, right? And the market has had a serious downturn or upturn, and you're looking still at the past year's July to get your proper price for that. So here, well, you know, it, you know, sorry, so the value is $1,523,000, and you used Land Corps, which to compare, which I always like Udi Nielsen's title search, you know, I always felt it was one of the quickest and best to get a comparison. Anyways, they rated the house from $1,590,000 to $1,620,000. So here you have all these people thinking it's worth more, and it was for sale for 57 days.
Yes.
And then they brought it down to $1,389,000 and still hasn't sold. So the thing is, there definitely are some people getting some price reductions out there.
Well, and absolutely. And you know, again, what we always say, get a good realtor. You know, I know one personally. I know several, of course. But, you know, the reality of it is you need somebody to help give you guidance and give you an idea of what it is. Yeah. We just sold a property that just sold just above assessed value, you know, yesterday. So the truth is it depends on the house, the neighborhood, and everything else.
Well, and was it listed, you know, was it listed right, you know?
Well, that's right. We did well. We got over assessed value just barely, but we got over assessed value. And again, 2 years ago, the market would have paid a heck of a lot difference of a price. But the reality of it is, in this particular case, they've got the assessment right. But a lot of times the assessments are done poorly, or maybe there was one isolated case where a neighbor sold for X amount of dollars and it affected the price, you know, and all of a sudden you've got this skewing of assessment. And that's why you'll see with Rudy's Land Corps, which I agree, that's a very valuable tool. And I've always enjoyed using it, and I've been using it for years, but it gives us another indication, another source of an idea of value. But here we are, we're asking $1,388,000, great house, great, nothing really wrong with it that I can see. And it's substantially less than the assessed value. So of course, you know, BC people have been trained over the last 50 years, probably, you know, the assessments came out every 2 years, and they were, you know, let's face it, if you were in a rising market as when you bought compared to as it kept on going up, you know, 2 years later, the assessment was quite low. So people would say, well, you know, houses are always priced less. Our prices of houses are always 10% more than the assessment, but not anymore. You know, those days are gone. And I've always said, like, hey, I guarantee you one thing for sure, I'll sell your house at assessed value below it or above it. Like one of those things I'll guarantee.
Well, it's you know, it's so many times, particularly if you're, say, a foreigner or you come from out of town, you assume that is the correct value. That is a value. And the nice thing, though, is with the assessment sort is, I believe it starts December 1 till the end of January. They'll show you all the sample properties that they used in order to come at your value. So
right.
All the neighbors, what they paid or what it sold for in the general area, and they show you the comparison, and they're all double garage or whatever. And so that you get a sense, because what they don't want, they don't really want you to dispute it, right? And so you can take a look, and you have to, in order to dispute it, certainly you have only a certain time frame, which generally is the end of January. If that's in British Columbia, in Alberta, it's more. So you have to look, understand your own rules. But the key is, you want to dispute it, you have to have comparables. Well, the assessment authority puts it right on there to say, okay, if you want to dispute this, dispute all of these assessments. That's how they, that we use to arrive at your price.
Right.
Brent, thank you very much. It was interesting. We went rentals. We got a deal. And Brent, of course, has a lot of deals out there. I'm on his mailing list. And I always think, huh, I should take a look at that. That's Brent's clickbait newsletter. So you should all get on his email mailing list. Let's have let's have a great weekend coming up, and let's do another one next week.
Thanks, Ozzy. Have a great day.